This is The Baseline, discussing the hot button topics of the NBA.
Welcome, everybody. You're tuned to The Baseline. Callie, Warren Shaw discussing the hot button topics of the NBA. Our post-game analysis of the NBA Finals, Game 2. And the Dubs get savage on the Cleveland Cavaliers, defeating them 132-113. We break it down like we're supposed to. No, we're not throwing shade, but there is an eclipse that is emitting over this NBA Finals. And if the Cleveland Cavaliers don't set it straight by Game 3, man, I hate talking about broomsticks, but there's going to be a lot of witchery happening out in Cleveland, out in the land, if this doesn't get fixed right away. But we got a lot to discuss about Game 2 and then moving forward to Game 3. So let me go ahead and roll out the red carpet to my right-hand man, 50 grand NBA aficionado, my partner in crime. He's been rolling with me since day one. We've been tracking this thing down. My man for www.shawsports.net, Big Kahuna, Warren Shaw, repping out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Holla back at me, Mr. Shaw. I mean, are the shots heard all the way down from Fort Lauderdale straight out of the Oracle tonight or what, brother?
Yeah, man, that was one hell of a message yet again from the Golden State Warriors. Salute all the fans and listeners of NBA Baseline. As always, man, we're here dropping that knowledge, bringing in that coverage for these games. Cavs and Warriors, again, not exactly what we want to see in terms of the competition, but this Golden State team is proven to be elite level. And maybe, again, you're seeing it all over Twitter now, maybe one of the best teams ever put together.
We're going to get to that part of it in a moment, Shaw. I mean, we want to build up, you know, that conversation as we start inching closer and closer, you know. But here's the thing that stands out already when I looked at what happened between Game 1 and Game 2. The Cavaliers have not learned their lesson. They have not learned that. I thought we came up with a pretty good game plan for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not trying to toot our horn, Shaw, but I could have sworn I said something about you cannot let the Golden State Warriors score 110 plus something points and think that you're going to beat this basketball team. So rather than figuring out a way to slow this game down, rather than figuring out a way to minimize the pace a little bit, make the game a little uglier, make sure that those shots are a little bit tougher, elbow them to the gut or do something, rather than shutting it down and making the Warriors score less than 113, the Warriors just decided to say, we're just going to up the ante and drop 132. It boggles my mind, Shaw, how this again is another miss on the part of the Cleveland Cavaliers, because the Golden State Warriors are getting all up in their chest hair saying, you need to stop us. And somehow they're not answering the call by trying to defend, quote unquote, like they say, defend the land. They're just not even defending. They're not defending the land. They're not defending the sea. They're not defending the water. They were not defending in the first two games in the Oracle. They better figure this out when Game 3 rolls around, because you are not going to beat the Warriors allowing them to score 110 plus points in this series. It's just not going to happen.
Right. And that's what we said from the outset, right, is that they just don't have the dogs when it comes to the defensive capability.
They don't even have the chihuahuas right now, brother. They don't even have, we're looking for some pit bulls in their kennel right now, and they don't even have the chihuahuas ready to bark at what the Warriors are throwing at them right now, dude.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's unfortunate for Cleveland. And, you know, I think that really is the only thing that is going to maybe salvage the series for them. And we'll get to, like, you know, how they can potentially muck it up a little bit here. But here's the thing about, I think, in the playoffs, no matter what happens, like, you know, you're supposed to be making adjustments on the fly, right? Well, you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, so you're the defending NBA champions. And yes, you're going up against this unstoppable force in the Golden State Warriors, but you still want to have that faith and belief in your culture and what has gotten you here to this point. So they've tried to run with Golden State these first two games. You say, oh, the first game, okay, we had too many turnovers, we cut that down, maybe we get back in and we steal Game 2. And then, you know, that doesn't happen now. So now you have to kind of really go back and really reassess. Ty Lue's job is to go back into the lab and now look, okay, you got Channing Frye some minutes early on, well, in the third quarter of this game, and then, you know, got some garbage minutes in the fourth quarter as well, too. You played RJ almost 15 minutes as well, too. So are these the guys that you're going to try to use? Or is it going to be the Dante Jones? Or is it going to be the Derek Williams now that need to come out here and try to, again, slow the pace down a little bit? Because, again, I understand what you're trying to do. You got here. being the team that you are, fast paced, you shoot a bunch of threes, but Golden State's better at than that at you are. So you have to change your game a little bit now if you want to have a chance in the series.
But we had talked about this as well, again, Shaw, that, you know, what's good, what is more potent for the Cleveland Cavaliers to give themselves an opportunity? Is it nullifying the Golden State Warriors offensively, or is it the Cleveland Cavaliers up in the ante offensively? And look, we've said that the Golden State Warriors will give the Cleveland Cavaliers opportunities to, if not stay in the game, to possibly even win games, because the Warriors are risk takers. They are, times are careless with the basketball. You know, we talked about it in game one. The Golden State Warriors had four turnovers all game long. Four turnovers, right? The Cleveland Cavaliers had 20, or I think 21 turnovers. I think it was 20. And then in this game, the Golden State Warriors had 13 turnovers in the first half, right? I mean, so it wasn't as if the blueprint wasn't there, that the Cleveland Cavaliers started forcing the Warriors to press and make careless passes. But ultimately, you have to do something with those turnovers. You have to put pressure on those mistakes that the Warriors make. And even for all of that, Shaw, after the double-digit turnovers in the first half, the Warriors were still up by 3 points to the Cleveland Cavaliers, which tells me the Cavaliers did not make the Warriors pay for their careless mistakes.
Well, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that, because the fast break points, and that's typically what, you know, and we're not the point of turnover stats just yet. The fast break points was Cavaliers 30. The Warriors still managed to have 31, you know, in a game where Cleveland only turned the ball over 9 times. So, you know, that, again, it's frustrating. I think you have to be frustrated if you're the Cavs. They got 100 field goal attempts. Golden State only shot 89, and they still lost by 19 points. Like, it's mind-boggling, some of the stats in this series so far, because we talked about it in game one, where a lot of things kind of went Cleveland's way other than the turnovers. Now you get Golden State to turn the ball over that much, but now you get pounded on the glass, you lose a rebounding battle by 12, and now you shoot 6 less threes than they did, and 10 less threes than they did, and it really just becomes a huge issue that you, no matter what you do, it comes back to you have to play perfect, Mr. Perfect style basketball if you're going to have any chance. And even then, I still just don't know. I feel bad for them, because it has made this series almost unwatchable.
You saw when LeBron James was coming out of the game after the Warriors basically blew the game, you know, out of the waters midway into the fourth quarter. I mean, at that point, Tyronn Lue had already given up and started putting in a second unit, started replacing LeBron James. LeBron James walking off, he's just shaking his head. And he's not shaking his head because he's dejected. He's shaking his head. He's like, WTF, man. Like, seriously, like, he's like, I don't know what else to do. He had a triple-double tonight. He didn't turn the ball over like he did in game one. And for all of that, he still is looking up at the scoreboard, watching the Warriors putting crooked numbers on this Cavaliers team. And it almost harkened back to the first time that the Warriors played the Cavs, when LeBron James was basically all worldly. And I have to think that I don't want to say it feels as much dejected, because I said he wasn't as dejected at the look in his face, but I'm wondering what's going through his mind, because he got a 27-point performance from Kevin Love. Kyrie Irving, again, 19 points, but he didn't have the dagger-threatening shots that I think would shake up and get people all, you know, on their heels.
But he beat him up.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
8 of 23 from the floor for Kyrie.
But again, Sean, it goes back to that whole mindset of the Warriors refuse to let the Cavaliers lower the boom. Not like, you know, LeBron James in 2 games now, he's had vicious, you know, dunk straight to the middle of the basket. And we'll probably not talk about it because of so many plays that the Warriors are making on the Cavaliers throughout the course of the 48 minutes that's being played. There's not one moment that we've seen so far in the first 2 games that speak loudly about the resounding effect that this Cleveland Cavaliers team should have against the Golden State Warriors, because we are still saying that LeBron James is the best player on the basketball court. But at the end, man, the Warriors are just throwing way too much at him right now. And to your point, you got to start wondering who's going to step up and kind of counteract against what's going on.
Right. And unfortunately for Cleveland, you know, they don't have the depth, you know, outside of their starting lineup, which is something that we talked about in the beginning of the series. And we knew that was going to be the case. We talked about it after game one recap. Golden State guys are guys who play both ways, offensively and defensively, don't really hurt you. You can't leave anybody out there. And that's not the same case for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, you know, LeBron, he was great in the first half and still obviously was good in the second half too. But you could tell he kind of got worn down. You know, the Warriors had a great third quarter. Steph Curry kind of went mad, you know, shooting those.
He played 39 minutes. You know, right. he played 39 minutes. But I think that is more mental worn out, you know, given everything that's happened to him this week. I think you can tell he's somewhat mentally worn out. And I think him now going back to Cleveland, I'm sure he's going to be rejuvenated. I'm just wondering how that's going to resonate to the rest of these guys. I know that when you watch these guys walking out of the arena into the locker rooms and things of that nature, they're shaking it off. Hey, you know, the series is not over yet. We still have two games. We play at home. I'm just wondering where is it going to come from outside of LeBron James? You know, Kyrie Irving wanted this. Kyrie Irving wanted this rematch. He wanted to see Steph Curry. And Steph Curry right now is giving Kyrie Irving the business. Though they don't play up against each other, which probably might be a good thing, because then I think Steph Curry might burn Kyrie Irving even worse. But simply, now that Klay Thompson is starting to get off offensively, has to start make you wonder, you know, say, hey, we were giving praise to Kyrie Irving for stepping up and playing good defense, playing clutch defense last year. You know, now we're starting to kind of see this thing regress itself back to say, is Kyrie Irving the best all-around basketball player? Or is he just one of the best solid isolation players in the game? And if the Warriors are going to cut off the Cavaliers' ability to play this isolation basketball with effectiveness, then that means that Kyrie Irving is going to be insignificant throughout the course of this series.
Well, as long as Klay is going to have that level of defense, and that's the thing we talked about last game. You know, we had to credit Klay, although his offense hasn't been there for the majority of the playoffs. He's still playing great defense. I think Draymond Green said as much as that in between games as well, too. Like, hey, he'll get there, but as long as he can continue to do what he needs to do defensively, and he has. You saw, you know, the results of that tonight, and then his offense kicked in as well, too. So Kyrie only gets to shoot 8 of 23 from the floor. Yes, it's on the road. You know, and Kyrie had a couple of nice, you know, layups where, you know, he shakes a guy, but that's against like the Ian Clarks of the world when they're out there and Klay or, you know, somebody wasn't able to stick him. So he's taking advantage when he gets the opportunity. But Golden State's overall team defense seemed to be just superior. You know, there was a play where I think even a guy like Kyle Korver on a dribble handoff, you know, he's going to come off and shoot that three right off the catch. And a guy like Iguodala, like, jumped the screen and was right all in his grill, contested it, didn't foul, and Korver had no chance of making that shot. And that's just the defensive principles that Steve Kerr, Mike Brown, and this Golden State roster has in place for this team. They know what Cleveland's going to do, and they're better at defending it than Cleveland's better at defending Golden State.
You're tuned to The Baseline. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw discussing the hot-button topics of the NBA. Our post-game analysis of Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Golden State Warriors hold home court down, dominating Game 2, 132-113 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, you know, we'll kind of go ahead and put the exclamation mark with regards to how we're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we'll switch sides and we'll talk about the performances from the Golden State Warriors, Shaw. But look, you know, we talked about how when Kevin Love, you know, last in Game 1, he had some fantastic numbers, right? 15 points, 21 rebounds. Tonight, you know, 27 points. You know, 2 of 7 from three. So his three ball, you know, shooting was not really all that effective. He had 7 rebounds, 2 steals. But again, you know, it's almost as if Kevin Love establishes himself in the beginning of the game and then just suddenly fades away in the second half. And I just don't understand if it's a confidence thing, if it's just the idea that maybe LeBron and Kyrie is sensing that the game is getting away from them, and so they go back to this isolation. You cannot leave this guy abandoned if you expect to win. There's a purpose for why you made this guy the focal point, the feature for your offense, and somehow the Cavaliers continue to get away from it, or Kevin Love is just timid and not making his presence felt. I'm curious to get your perspective from this, Shaw, because we don't talk about Kevin Love nearly as much in the second half of these two games as we've talked about him in the first half of these games.
I see what you're saying, and I think we even got a Twitter question about that as well, too, or a comment, you know, saying kind of exactly the same point that, You know, he gets off to these great starts. And I think that's on both him and LeBron and Kyrie in terms of making sure he does get his touches and get involved. He ended up missing a couple layups and some bunnies, in the second half there. And that probably maybe shot his confidence down a little bit. Still shot over 50% for the floor for the game, 12-23. But you're right. He does need to be able to go out there and continue to be consistent. If you get off, to 10, 15 points, in the first quarter and a half or whatever the case be, there's no reason that they should go away from you. But I will say this. I think a lot of his success early on in this game was a direct result of Draymond Green bidding a foul.
Oh, we're going to talk some Dre.
So
Dre, and I'm not talking Dre, with the nickname Dre for dreadful, like straight up. Like he is not, I don't know what it is. Like I said, Shaw, we'll get into that in a moment. I don't know what's going on, but finish your point with regards to Kevin Love and how he, listen, he's making Draymond Green look bad right now in these first two games of the finals.
Well, I mean, Draymond, got him to shoot, I think, Kevin Love shot 5 of something like that, 13 in the first game or something like that. I can't remember exactly. I don't have the stats in front of me, but he didn't shoot the ball well, and so that's why he ended up attacking the glass. Now, without Draymond out there, he got off to a better start and was able to have a decent game points-wise, but didn't attack the glass as much. So he's going to have to be a guy who gets you 20 to 25 points per game in these finals and gets you, 12 to 15 rebounds a game, like legitimately. That's what he has to be, a double-double machine for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So now I'm glad you actually brought this up, Shaw, because I actually had this question that I had written down, and I wanted to get to this, and then we'll get into the Warriors. LeBron James tonight, 29 points, right? 11 rebounds, 14 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. And one question that I really am curious from you, Shaw. What is most effective for LeBron James for this Cleveland Cavaliers team against the Golden State Warriors? Is it the fact that he has to have these type of triple doubles? Or is it LeBron James with the scoring and the assists? Or is it LeBron James with the scoring and the rebounding? The reason why I'm asking this is because usually a LeBron James triple double means that the Cavaliers is doing it all. And they've put themselves in a great position to probably win this basketball game. But if you were to ask me what you would rather have from LeBron James, I know that if the responsibilities of him having to rebound the basketball are important, that means that Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson are giving you absolutely nothing on the boards. If you're asking me LeBron James has to give you 14 assists, it means that Kyrie Irving is either the recipient, Kevin Love is the recipient, and making the majority of these baskets, and or Kyrie Irving is doing nothing but playing isolation basketball. So from your perspective, Shaw, a LeBron James triple-double, is it really that effective in this type of series against the Golden State Warriors? Or what would you be looking for from his stat sheet that gives you some type of significant confidence that the Cavaliers should win these basketball games because LeBron James did this?
Well, we've seen him have these historic games in general where he gets, 15, 8, even 18 rebounds and things of that nature. I think the true indicator, though, for their team success, especially this season, more so than any other against the Golden State Warriors, is going to be his ability to score efficiently and his ability to get people involved. So again, but he still had 29 points and 14 assists.
So here's
and they
what
still
I,
got beat by 19.
So here's what I didn't give you. The stat that I think stands out more than anything, because his 29 points, again, great, 12 of 18, right, 66% from the field, but Shaw, he only was at the free throw line 5 times. Yep. See, LeBron James not being on the free throw line. Kyrie Irving only being at the free throw line 2 times. Again, they're not making it easier on themselves if they are not putting the Warriors in foul trouble. Now, they got Draymond Green, and they even had Kevin Durant. Remember, Kevin Durant, I think, had 3 fouls by the early part of the third quarter. Draymond Green had 4 fouls and was running with 5 fouls going into the fourth quarter. And it boggles my mind how they did not put emphasis on trying to get one of these guys either in foul trouble or taking extensive minutes off the bench, because Steve Kerr felt mighty confident once he started seeing the Warriors go on their runs again to put those guys back despite them being in that foul trouble.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting for Cleveland is I think, LeBron's efficiency might have come out of the 15 steals that the Cavs had too. So he got a lot of maybe layups and fast break points that way. And that he wasn't really able to be as aggressive going to the bucket in the half court sets because, again, Golden State's defense is so good and they're able to load up and they're so long and they switch everything. So same thing with Kyrie. He only was able to get into the basket, when he had lesser defenders like some of the bench guys, on him defensively. So for me, when you're looking at it, Cleveland is in a very unique situation where, like I said, we keep saying that they're going to have to slow things down. And I don't know that in a game that is, say, in the 90s per se, LeBron is not going to be able to get 15, 16 assists, right? You know, maybe that is going to cut down to maybe 7 or 8 and then whatever points he's going to end up having. But to me, what you said earlier on is more indicative for how Cleveland can potentially maybe get a win. If they muck it up, as we keep saying and alluding to, and making it a defensive battle, and Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson are getting rebounds in the teens, at least double-digit rebounds, LeBron is assisting, and you're getting guys like outside of Love and Kyrie involved. That means JR is hitting his shots. That means Fryland in his minutes and Kyle Korver in his minutes, they're hitting their shots. That is the way that Cleveland can have a legitimate chance. And again, we keep saying you go back home, your bench players play a little bit better, and maybe that is the case. But this is a monster in Golden State. And they, again, they just continue to be on a mission that doesn't seem like Cleveland just trying to slow things down is going to be able to stop.
You're tuned to The Baseline. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw discussing the hot button topics of the NBA, or post-game analysis. A game two of the NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors defeat the Cavaliers 132-113. Let's talk Golden State Warriors. First, Steph Curry. Wow, right? 32 points. 10 rebounds, 11 assists, and he had 8 turnovers. Like, and he wasn't the best player on the basketball court, y'all. Like, we're going to go through this whole conversation and not talk Kevin Durant. I don't think so. But let's first talk about Steph Curry, because that shake and bake that he put on LeBron James in the third quarter, you know, it's interesting how we talk about momentum changing plays. And we talked about how LeBron James figured out getting those type of plays when the Cavaliers needed some form of inspiration. The Warriors got that very quickly when Steph Curry just basically shook LeBron James. And after he laid it up and in over LeBron, who was trailing behind him and just waving at air, Steph started pumping the chest, almost started stomping the ground like he did back in game one. And like I said, there's a different mindset about Steph Curry and the way that he is approaching this game. He is in a zone, man. And maybe, you know, we talk about this, he's still, you know, careless with the basketball, doing all this guy, but he is in a zone, bro. And I'd say this is what makes it so dangerous, because if you're Kyrie Irving, this is what you don't want to see. You want to see a Steph Curry kind of maligned and mellowed out, not this kind of Steph Curry who's going to try and wreak havoc on the basketball court, because now the Cavaliers have to expend bodies on playing someone who's been somewhat subdued the first two times that he's been in the NBA Finals.
What's funny to me is, like, there's that old adage in the NBA in general where it says, oh, defense, you know, creates offense, and that feeds off. And that's relatively true, especially, you know, for good teams. And Golden State does do that a little bit. But I don't know if there's any team that feeds off their offense more than Golden State at the same time. They hit some ridiculous shot. Steph hits some crazy 3, 4, or 5 feet behind the line, or he shakes somebody, you know, and they breaks him down. And now he has a running mate in Kevin Durant to kind of do the same things as well, too. Like, this is a team, when those types of plays happen, they are really are momentum changing. You know what I mean? It's just like, it sucks the life out of you in so many ways, because everybody feels it. And again, hey, he's a showman. And you can say, some people say, oh, he's like those two MVP years are saying he was showing up the game and, you know, doing too much. This is part of who he is. He's out there, he's having fun. And if you do a move like that, you get past LeBron when LeBron's blocked your shot on multiple times, yeah, you have a right to feel good about it, especially on your home floor. And just as you alluded to, again, it really does surge this team in a way that I've never seen any other offense done before.
Let me add on one other point to what you just said, y'all, because how you ended is so perfect. Steph Curry, you know, to some people's perception, he's showing up the game. But then doesn't that lend credence to the mindset that we tend to have about the game of basketball at times? How, you know, we applaud players who give you this isolation, you know, Rucker Park style basketball. That's the style of basketball that Kyrie Irving tends to like to play, right? That's not the style of basketball that LeBron James likes to play all the time. But when you have the kind of roster that he wants, that he's facilitated, that he has around him, this is what they do. And Tyronn Lue is playing to that strength. But when a team defensively figures out a way to nullify how you effectively play, you need to make adjustments. And to me, what I saw from that play, Shaw, I don't want to completely read too much into this, but I do want to put emphasis on this, because people tend to miss the point at times when we start giving accolades to these players or whether or not they're better than the next one or whatever. If Steph Curry really wanted to play one-on-one basketball, We're going to say, oh, you know, Steph Curry, you know, he can't outplay Kyrie Irving. Is that what we're talking about in the context of playing team basketball? Because this is exactly the reason why Steph Curry is playing around a bunch of guys and he's actually making the guys that he's playing better. He will be careless with the basketball. He will be a risk taker with his shots. But Shaw, if you tell me that you want to have him play isolation basketball each and every single time, if you're LeBron James, you'll probably take that each and every single day because you don't want Steph Curry playing the kind of basketball that the Warriors have instilled in him to play, which has facilitated them getting 132 points. You want him playing the Kyrie Irving style of basketball because that's not how he likes to play. So I'm just saying, this is why this is a different Steph Curry. We see it throughout the game sometimes when him and Steph Curry take jacks up shots and then he kind of hurts his team because then the other team gets on transition offense, which is what the Warriors don't want. But when you see Kyrie Irving playing within the flow of the game with him and Kevin Durant, it is beautiful basketball to watch. I mean, we're watching beautiful basketball despite what the score represents. And that's what makes this finals fun for us to look at, even though we may be looking at something drastic happening if things don't change in the next two games.
That's the beauty of Golden State's offense. You know, that's what we said. I think you would ask me before in our finals preview, say, hey, would you prefer, you know, the isolation heavy LeBron and Kyrie, who are great, obviously one-on-one players, or the team basketball of Golden State? And I think what ends up happening is, listen, you know, back in the day, you know, we're playing NBA 2K or NBA Live even back then when that was before 2K really came on the scene. Like, oh, we used to play, you know, with like a Tracy McGrady, or we used to play whatever, and always just pass it to the best players, right? And it's like, oh man, you're just padding your stats, getting a cheap assist. Curry, Durant, Draymond Green, they have each other to pass to, and Klay Thompson, they have each other to pass to consistently get cheap assists, if you will, because those guys are so good. Even if they're defended, they're going to be able to hit shots. And Curry's now, he's playing within the flow of his offense. When, especially once he gets his shot going as well, too, that makes him a much better threat. Then he can pump fake you off the three-point line and find a cutter or find somebody on the opposite wing in the corner like a KD or Klay Thompson. And especially if Klay's hitting a shot like he was tonight, that just makes our offense that much more difficult to stop. And again, we already talked about it to some degree, but Draymond wasn't even really a part of that tonight. And he still had six assists himself, you know, from the offensive side of things, too.
He was still a plus 14 on the floor, despite him only playing 24 minutes for the Golden State Warriors, Shaw. That's just outrageous, because that is not typical Draymond Green. And we thought that Draymond Green's presence in this series would actually be the X factor. I don't know whether or not he would be an MVP-like type person, but to even come to the point that we said, we saw nothing from Klay Thompson, nothing from Draymond Green in game one. Heaven forbid if these guys figure out their game by the time we get to game two.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's what's funny. It's just that is, he has 12, 6, and 6 in roughly 25 minutes in a bunch of foul trouble. Team still wins by 19. Again, you said he's still a plus 14 or whatever it is. This team has just so many different people that are ready to step up. And in the first game, we saw where only Steph and KD were the only ones to get double digits. Well, now you got a guy like Sean Livingston came off the bench. He gave you 10 points. Even Ian Clark in his 13 minutes, he gave you 10 points. Because, you know, whatever you can say, he got some of those points in garbage time or whatever. But just too many options that you have to be wary and cognizant of if you're Cleveland. And if you're not playing a certain brand of basketball and not defending at a certain level, you just don't really have a lot of hope in this series. But again, transfer to Cleveland, maybe you make a couple adjustments here, you hope for an off night, you make the game more physical, you knock Steph Curry off of that screen and roll a little bit, you know, you
knock him on his ass, right. You know, you got to put him on the ground, bro.
And you're going to have to, you know, you got to stick with two or three guys on KD. Like, I think you're going to have to probably double those guys everywhere they go, Durant and Curry. And like I said in the beginning of the series, it's death by Klay and maybe death by Dre. Those are the guys you maybe have to give shots to. You can't let Curry and Durant continue to beat you.
All right, y'all. Before we head off, you know, and we start talking about game three, we got to talk about the KD factor. 33 points, right? 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. And I love this stat, brother. 5 BLKs. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, man, I'm telling you, Kevin Durant ain't playing, boy. I mean, hey, maybe it's that look that he gave Rihanna, but Savage might be the best, might be the new name for Kevin Durant, man, after this NBA Finals if he keeps trending like this, brother. 5 blocks. I mean, you tell me if there's anybody in Cleveland that's going that really wants to get up on Kevin in Kevin Durant's chin. Like, I seriously, this is like completely flipping the script. And it almost makes it impossible for the game plan, the Cavaliers, to come up with a game plan if you're going to see Kevin Durant doing this kind of defensive effort, brother.
Exactly. He's focused, as we said, and we knew he would be, but laserly focused on both sides of the basketball, shooting efficiently and still playing great defense. He's doing it any way that you can ask for. He's getting in the passing lanes. He's blocking shots straight up. He's coming, he's being a help side, weak defender as well, blocking shots there, stepping in the lane on screen and roll, and just using his length. He's using his ability, and you have to some degree, you know, you want to credit the player first and foremost, but you have to credit the Golden State coaching staff, you know, for getting the maximum ability out of his potential and his talent defensively. We all knew that he probably had the principles because of his length, but always felt, oh, he was too slight of frame and too light. But he's doing everything he needs to do to be effective on that side and keep Golden State as one of the top defensive teams in the NBA. And there's just nothing more that can be said about that. Three steals, five blocks, you know, while still shooting 13 for 22 from the floor, getting 13 rebounds. I mean, he's laserly focused, and it's going to be a monster if Cleveland has any chance at all.
All right, Shaw. Wednesday, game three. Now back to the land. Down 2-0. You're the Cleveland Cavaliers, Shaw. Real quick, what's the game plan? And if you're the Golden State Warriors, up 2-0 in the land, what is the game plan to maintain what they've done the first two games?
I'll start with Golden State. I don't think there's much change from them. They're just going to continue to play their brand of basketball. Obviously, they want to limit those turnovers some and, you know, get that back down into the teens per se. Obviously, they want to do better than that. But, you know, that's an acceptable number for them, I think, you know, throughout the playoff run. But this is really on what Cleveland is going to do and what they can do defensively to make these adjustments. I just don't see them having the ability to match offense with Golden State, even at home. I just don't see it happening. So this is going to have to become an uglier game. And maybe this is how you alluded to in our last recap, where Derek Williams comes out there. Dante Jones needs to come out there and just get into the very grill of all these Warriors. And again, push some people on the ground, as you alluded to, not KD on his ass, not Curry on his ass, and make sure that those guys are well-defended, two and three guys at every turn. And hopefully, maybe if you, especially with Curry, maybe you get him to turn the ball over more than eight times he did tonight, because maybe he won't be able to see over two and three defenders. And then you have to make some of the guys beat you.
Who's going to be your X factor for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Who do you think really needs to step up and make and play very, very big in order to get them this win?
I think it's actually going to be JR, you know, and a combination of probably JR and Tristan as well, too. Yeah. I think Tristan's going to have to, you know, be able to hit some dive cuts to the basket and score offensively, but really be a monster on the glass.
I mean, he hasn't had double-digit rebounding at all so far in the finals. I mean, something's got to give.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. And I think if he's able to, you know, again, give them what he's supposed to be giving them on the rebounds, you know, that will definitely help them in a tremendous way, too. But that shooting guard position has pretty much been a blank spot for them between JR, Korver, and Iman Shumpert, you know, throughout this series. Those three guys as a collective need to play well. But JR being the starter, you just kind of hope that he's going to, especially he's been doing a lot of talking too in between games too. You don't want to go out there, say all those things, and then not back it up with an 0-for-2 performance in 14 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so there we have it. The Golden State Warriors up 2-0 on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game 3 will be in the land. 9 p.m. start time. As always, ABC ESPN giving you exclusive coverage. But be sure to check us out here, the Baseline NBA podcast, for post-game analysis. Be sure to get my man Shaw at Shaw Sports NBA or get at me at Gameface Lee. The show's Twitter handle at NBA Baseline. For the Baseline, Cali, Warren Shaw, we appreciate you guys for tuning in, keeping us locked, and we'll catch up with you Wednesday, game time.